If you take the word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in just a moment with verse 13 in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. There are passages of Scripture that are more difficult than others. This is one of them. Not only in understanding, but even in reading and following the logic of the passage. May God use it to speak to our hearts. I'm trying to bring to you in this brief series of messages a few of my favorite thoughts from this book of the Bible. The book of 2 Corinthians is the most personal of all things Paul wrote. In the 1 Corinthian letter, we deal with the problems in the church and how those are dealt with. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the apostle opens up his heart and we see his personal life and some of the struggles that he entered into. As a matter of fact, he goes so far as to say about his trouble and the sentence of death that was on him, how he was pressed out of measure. He thanked God for the people praying for him. No one will ever be able to tell until we see Jesus, the blessed benefit of the people's prayers. In the 11th verse, he says, "Ye also being together, helping together by prayers for us." When he wrote those words, no doubt he was thinking about the people who've been praying for him. But we come to the 13th verse, the Bible says, "For we write none other things unto you than what you read or acknowledge. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that ye might have a second benefit and to pass by you into Macedonia and to come again out of Macedonia unto you and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purposed to do, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. But who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts? Moreover, I call God for a record unto my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, and for faith, for by faith you stand." Now, I can't really read this without reading from the second chapter, the first verse. "Brethren, I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Now, since we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want you to turn back with me to the last chapter in 1 Corinthians. And as we have the Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want to get a few verses from the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. If the Lord permit. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this 16th chapter and the last phrase in the 7th verse, if the Lord permit. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as Paul comes to this great declaration, in verse 23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. The devil does all he can to create trouble in a church. That's his business, to disrupt the fellowship of God's people. The Apostle Paul is writing with an open heart to the people at Corinth, explaining to them something about the confusion that was caused by him suggesting, perhaps more than suggesting, that he was going to visit them, but then chose not to visit them. So they're looking at Paul like he's mixed up, confused. Does he either know what God wants or does he not know what God wants? Finally, he comes to the point of saying, I have a record. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. And the emphasis I want to give to this message is that in the most confusing things in life, in times of trial and difficulty, I want you to remember that you have a record, that God knows what's in your heart. Now hold your place here just for a moment and turn with me back to the book of Acts. 23 times in Paul's writings, he uses the word conscience. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 24, beginning with verse 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein, verse 16, do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. If I may say this, no matter what you think, no matter what others may think, God knows. And you seek to be true to your conscience. Again, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Job just for a moment. Just to remember this, in the book of Job, the 16th chapter. This is a verse that you ought to take to heart and memorize. In the 19th verse of Job, chapter 16, the Bible says, also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. You may be misunderstood by people most of your life, but God knows the truth. And he knows how serious a matter you take your conscience being right with him to be. As I said, Paul used the word conscience 23 times in his writings, agreeing with God, keeping things right with God. He had critics in Corinth. People have critics everywhere. And they're known for the trouble they caused. But here he's answering their accusations and their trouble. And the big thought in this answer is, God knows. My record is with the Lord. And I'm not ashamed to call God to the record and say, this is what I know to be true. And there'll be times in your life, many times perhaps, many times in your life, where people doubt you, people are confused, people say things they shouldn't say. And remember, the devil is the author of all this confusion. He's trying to disrupt your life, disrupt your family, disrupt your church. He's doing anything he can to cause problems in your life. Paul's already talked about his burden. He says in verse 11 of this chapter 1, ye also helping together by prayers. He knew he needed the prayers of God's people. He says in verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Here again, the testimony of our conscience in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. Sometimes I think the biggest culprits of criticism in the Lord's work are people in the Lord's work. It's as though of all people who ought to know how to be quiet, how to know that the devil is a sly fox trying to do anything he can to get any kind of entrance he can to disrupt something. We ought to be praying, guarding against all this. On over in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, the Bible talks about the Lord in verse and the work of the devil, lest Satan, verse 11, should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. How does the devil get an advantage? I know in my heart, every time I want to do something for the Lord, the devil can resist it. I resist myself sometimes, the flesh, the world, the devil, those are our enemies. And Paul is writing here, he says, the devil just looks for any way to get an advantage. Any way to get an advantage. And when there's confusion and people are questioning, and they were questioning the Apostle Paul and his motives about whether or not he was really telling the truth about coming to Corinth, they accused him of being fickle. Yes and no, yes and no, yes and no, yea and yea and nay, yes and no, yes and no. But he said, God knows. And I have witnesses working with me, Silvanus and Timotheus, that know that we intended to do a certain thing, but God led us in another way. That's why I read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He said, and all these things I plan to do and want to do, it all depends on the fact if God will permit this to happen. But aside from all of that, when it's all said and done, and you want to be right with God, and you want to be right with people, you want to have a conscience void of offense toward God and man, you can rest assured that God knows the truth. Amen. And he does. And so it's as though when you're reading through this passage of Scripture, difficult language as it is, that Paul summarizes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. Can you imagine such language? Whatever you think, whatever you're trying to think, whatever you're accusing me of, I call God for a record in my soul. You and I can do the same. And God does know. And you can sleep and rest, lay your head down at night, Trust the Lord. Be at peace when you've lived your life seeking to have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. May God help us. I want you to look with me, please, if you'll hold your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, to the book of Ephesians. These seem like incidental things that God is saying, but they're not. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Think about that. Grieve not. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. But God says you're sealed to the day of redemption. Does the Lord know you're His? That's what it means when He says He sealed you. What do you think is going to happen when the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes? All secrets are going to be known. What do you think Jesus is going to do? What do you think Paul meant when he said to these people who were given the hardest of times, when he talked about the Lord's coming? The Lord's coming. And the day of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, in verse 14 of the same chapter 1. What do you think? Can you rest your life on the fact that God knows? He's got your record of all you've done and really are. And you can trust Him that it'll all come out. Do you know how many people waste their lives trying to get even with somebody who they think hurt them? You know how many people who waste their lives trying to answer criticism instead of just trusting God by faith with it? Paul said in this letter, he said, "I could have come, but God wouldn't let me come. God wouldn't let me come." This is the truth. You don't have to read anything into what I'm writing. I'm writing exactly what God gave me to pen. But the truth of the matter is, it's going to stand. We can trust God with it. I call God to record. This is the way it'll be. You think sometimes in a church where people love the Lord, that they're trying to do the best and everybody's working the same thing, but they're not. Satan is always looking for someone he can enter into and create a problem. And I'm not preaching this sermon because there's something like that to deal with. I'm saying to you, when we're going through the Bible and we come to places like this where God gives us incidents like this, it needs to be explained, it needs to be dealt with. My responsibility is just to declare what God has said in His Word and let God apply it to our hearts. We have a record in heaven. We have a conscience. We want to keep void of offense between us and the Lord. We want to keep everything right with God. And no matter what people are saying, we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Once you've been born again, the Bible says He has sealed us to the day of redemption. And we ought to be living our lives in such a way that we don't grieve Him by the way we live. Do you think that way? Do you think what you say or do not say, what you do or do not do, has an effect on the Holy Spirit? How well do you know Him? Let us not grieve Him. I'm praying that God will be the blesser and user of this church in a way like we've never seen before. I'm asking God for these 4 miracle years. I mean, you can't explain it, but God will do it. And if we're going to do something like this for the Lord and trust God, I just met with a man today about extending some things in our church, a whole group of people, and I want to bring some of you in on it, any of you that want to be in on it, so you can pray, because we have to defeat the devil if we're going to move forward for the Lord. And we have to keep our hearts right with God and have to remember who we are. And we have to remember we're not going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we're going to have to believe that what we believe God's given us to do is exactly what we're going to do. That's the great confidence we'd have. I wanted to tell you this story. When I was just a boy, When I was just a boy, my home was not all it was supposed to be. My mother had a difficult time trying to raise four children on her own. And sometimes, to my shame, I got embarrassed by my mother. Just a little woman, 5 feet tall, weighed about 100 pounds. And sometimes we didn't have a car. We'd walk everywhere we went. We lived near our town, and we'd walk to town. And I was going to school with a certain kind of friends that thought they were better than other people. I won't go into any more details about that, but I got in a habit of not walking with my mother. I just want you to imagine that. My brother, two sisters, my mother, myself were all walking, but I was stepping back from them, not identifying with them. I can still remember it. And after now, having looked at that and thought about it for years, I'd give a whole world just to be by her side and never act embarrassed or ashamed. And I'm telling you that story because the Holy Spirit is with us. Christ in us. He watches everything we do. He either blesses or he doesn't bless. But he's our constant companion. We have never been without him since the day we trust him as our Savior. Amen. When we came to know the Lord, we were sealed to the day of redemption. Nothing could take our salvation away. The Lord lives in us, goes before us, walks with us. He's always present with us. But how many times have we been ashamed of him? How many times have we failed to acknowledge him publicly? How many times have we been embarrassed by him? But when it's all said and done, we'd give 1,000 worlds to change all that and say, God, I should never have been ashamed, never been embarrassed. If God knows the truth and we're trying to do the right thing, we need to live for the Lord, unashamed, always out and out for him, open, honest, giving God all the glory, and saying, the record's in heaven. I'm going to do the right thing. God knows. Would you pray with me, please? Let us pray.